Good Wednesday. Today is February the 5th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, weather pattern changes are occurring. Obviously, we see that day to day. But on the big picture, a La Nina-type weather pattern is setting up for the month of February. That's the cold side of the El Nino Southern Oscillation. We're going to talk about it and what it means as we go through the month after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, weather making agricultural headlines, it took a while to happen, but La Nina is finally starting to make its influence known in North America. La Nina, which is known as the cold side of the El Nino Southern Oscillation, or the ENSO, typically results in colder conditions across the northern plains and Canadian prairies, while it remains warm across the southern tier of the United States. Now, precipitation tends to favor the Pacific Northwest and the Ohio Valley, while the southern tier is drier overall. Now, we're not really seeing this pattern developing right now. This week is a transition week as we go out with the old weather pattern and in with the new. The upper level ridge that's been stuck in western Canada and in the northeastern Pacific for the most part of January is finally making a move southeastward, getting stuck in the southeast U.S. or just off of the east coast during the first week of February. Now, an upper level trough will take its place in western Canada, and cold air will pool underneath it, coming in from Alaska and sometimes straight from the North Pole. This sort of upper-level setup will not be a locked-in feature throughout the entire month of February, but it should be a rather frequent sight and be the driver for the weather systems throughout the month. Now, that cold air will leak down from western Canada and the Canadian prairies into the northern plains farther south and east as energy from the trough produces frequent storm systems. These tend to be bigger winter storms, with a track likely farther north than we saw in January, which fell across the southern tier of the country. Now, the future storm track is more likely to be from Colorado or Texas into the Great Lakes or the Northeast, respectively, overlapping the Ohio Valley, which is why this area ends up with higher precipitation amounts, and that could be good news for the Midwest as northern areas have seen a snow drought for much of the winter season. Even some areas of the northern plains may be in the right spot during some of these storms to see increased precipitation as well. Drought in this section of the country continues to be awfully severe, and any increase in precipitation would be welcomed by those worried about moisture before the spring. The cold air that pools up in western Canada and in the northern plains is likely to push south and eastward behind these systems, giving occasional bursts of cold air. However, they are also likely to warm up ahead of the next system. Now, true to La Nina, the Pacific Northwest should also see an increase in precipitation, possibly coming from the atmospheric river events, where long streams of Pacific moisture can produce intense valley rains and mountain snows, often resulting in flooding and sometimes wind damage. The southwestern U.S. tends to stay drier, and that is the forecast for the month of February. Drought there has been mitigated only slightly by a system this past weekend, but the drier conditions that are forecast will return to the region, increasing drought conditions that could cause more severe issues for that region. Now, with the storm track and main source of energy to the north, the southern plains to the southeast get waves of precipitation from the passing systems, but typically not the heaviest rainfall. Amounts tend to be below normal. However, if that track is more frequent from Texas to the mid-Atlantic, some of these areas can pick up heavier amounts of precipitation. The Gulf Coast is usually an area that gets only passing showers from fronts moving through. Long-range model simulations suggest that February may not be the only month this pattern hangs on. Though La Nina is forecast to weaken into the spring, its effects can sometimes linger for a month or two longer. The forecast for March and April shows somewhat similar patterns, though with decreasing confidence. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, net farm income in 2024 is forecast to be $6 billion less than last year at $140.7 billion. That according to USDA's Economic Research Service. Now, this year-to-year decline is significantly softer than the $35.3 billion drop in farm income from 2022 to 2023. The forecast isn't much different from our prior forecast released in September, but somehow it feels a little more important as we near the end of the year to evaluate the current state of the farm economy as a starting point for considering what challenges and opportunities may lie ahead. That, according to Kerry Latowski, the senior ERS economist who led the farm income team. Now, net farm income aims to reflect the year the production occurred and accounts for the changing grain inventories, depreciation, and other non-cash expenses. Net farm income measures net expenses and receipts in a calendar year. Net farm income at $158.8 billion is forecast $1.8 billion or 1.1% below the previous year. It's pegged at farmers selling more grain than they grew, reflecting the surplus inventories farmers carry from year to year. Now, both measures remain above the 20-year average. USDA estimates its farm income forecast in February, September, and December, and issues a final forecast in February of the following year. Now, many of the major themes remain the same as they were in September. Income prospects diverge significantly from crop and livestock producers. Crop receipts are forecast to decrease by $25 billion from 2023 levels, while animal and animal product receipts are projected to increase by $21 billion. Now, lower corn and soybean prices will outweigh higher quantities to sell, leading to sharply lower receipts. Corn receipts are expected to fall by $16.6 billion, that's 20.8%, while the soybean receipts are forecast to decrease $6.9 billion, that's the equivalent of 12.3%. Direct government payments, which exclude crop insurance and loans, are 13.6% less than they were a year ago, largely due to the dairy margin coverage program payments and supplemental and ad hoc disaster assistance compared to 2023. And September's forecast included some major revisions from the February forecast, which initially forecast net farm income at $116.1 billion. At that time, the USDA was calling for declining receipts for livestock and animal products, but that area has since become a strong spot in the income picture, with cash receipts for cattle and calves climbing $7.3 billion. That's 7.2% due to higher prices. Another factor that improved the farm income forecast throughout the year is that farmers paid less for inputs like feed, seed, fertilizer, and fuel than what the initial forecast had said. The most recent includes the information in the November World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates, several more months of NASA's Price Paid Index data for the Energy Information Administration, grain marketing pattern data, and more. So despite expectations that income will continue to fall in 2024, the farm sector balance sheet is forecast to continue to improve in 2024, especially as measured by the equity. Farm sector equity is expected to increase by 5.2% in 2024. To $3.68 trillion in nominal terms, while debt levels are on the rise, forecast up 4.5%, and debt-to-asset levels improved modestly as asset appreciation outpaced the debt expansion. The balance sheet is long-term, Latowski said. It reflects long-term expectations or conditions with the farm sector, while the income statement is more of a short-term, year-to-year look. Now, an individual growing season may or may not affect the balance sheet, depending on the farm's financials. Overall, USDA estimates working capital levels will fall 6.9% relative to what they were in 2023, and USDA will release its final 24 farm income coming up on February the 6th. It will release its first 2025 forecast at that same time. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.